I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.co.uk. This is Internet Marketing. Now, before we start today, a bit of shameless self-promotion, because Site Visibility has recently published the Ultimate Content Promotion Guide. It's their most comprehensive guide to date, and in it they break down all the content promotion tactics, tricks and tools you'll ever need to help you achieve content marketing success. You can download the guide plus a handy printable content promotion checklist for free by going to bit.ly, that's bit.ly/ultimate-content or ultimate-content, whichever you prefer. It's the same thing. Now today I'm joined by Martin Gontovnikas, aka Gonto, VP of Marketing and Product at Auth0. Gonto, how are you doing?
All good. What about you?
Buongiorno. Oh, sorry, that's Italian, isn't it?
It is. You can tell me buenos dias, because it's morning at least.
Buenos dias. You're in Argentina, aren't you?
Yeah, I actually just arrived from Seattle. Today is morning from a plane, so I'm still a bit jet lagged.
Oh, I know the jet lag feeling. It's horrible. We went to New York, and I was thoroughly jet lagged for several days. And just when I'd recovered, it was time to come home again. Marvellous. At least you are home, so you'll stay there for a bit. What's the weather doing in Argentina? I know Argentina is a huge country. You're just in one bit of it. What's the weather doing over there?
Yeah, I'm in Buenos Aires now, and it's hot as hell. I can tell Celsius to you, right? It's
I know Celsius.
That's cool. I hate doing a translation to Fahrenheit.
Oh, me too. So what is it, 30, 40?
40.
Oh, my Lord. It's really cold over here. We've had snow. I don't know if you've seen the news. It's probably not important enough to be on the news, the weather in the UK. but it's not as cold as North America that's having that horrible, I forgot what they call it now, where a great big lump of really cold air comes down from the Arctic. They're really suffering at the moment, aren't they?
Yes, I saw that. In here, we get news from how cold it is in the US, nothing from the UK. Actually, only news we get from the UK is around Brexit.
Oh my God, yes. Well, we won't talk about the B word. I mean, of course, in the UK, we only have to have a single flake of snow falling on a rail track and the whole transport system breaks down. Anyway, less of the weather. Now, you're a man after my own heart because you're a software engineer, aren't you, that has moved, as you call it, moved to the dark side. I should have said that in an Alec Guinness voice.
Exactly. Yeah, I started as an engineer, but then while I was working on open source projects, I realized that it was more fun for me making the open source project than actually coding it. And that's when I realized that I needed to move to the dark side and work on marketing.
So if we do a timeline, how did that all develop? Tell us a bit about how it came to be.
So it's interesting. Like I was working as a developer, and then I was actually interviewing at Auth0, and I had already built Rectangular, which was the popular framework for AngularJS. And while I was interviewing, I ended a relationship with my ex-girlfriend, and I had like a life crisis, and I started reading at night, like, what should I do? Why? And then there was one guy called James Ward that I really liked what he did. So I researched him. I found he was a developer evangelist. I then found a book from Christian about developer evangelism, and then started reading it and liked it. And developer evangelism is sort of this idea of the marketing part of development, where I was writing blog posts, going to conferences, etc. And then from there, just started to move more and more and more into marketing.
I like that expression, Mark. Is it development evangelist? Is that what you said? So yes. Yeah, that's I've never actually heard of that before, and I didn't realize that companies had such a role. Is it becoming more common?
Yes, it depends on the company. Sometimes it's called developer evangelism. Sometimes it's called developer relations or developer advocate, because evangelism is kind of too religious. But it is very common for companies that are targeting developers. So Auth0, for example, helps developers implement authentication. So it's very common for companies like this. Other examples could be Twilio for SMS or Stripe for payment. All of them have developer evangelisms in their teams.
Now, I want to talk just briefly about REST Angular, which is this. Is framework the right thing to use to describe it?
I don't know. I always say framework or library, whatever sounds better, because I'm doing marketing now.
Yeah. I think we'd better explain to the users actually what Angular is, and it's we're both software engineers, so we must make sure that we don't blind them with science. So basically, it's just a framework written on top of JavaScript, isn't it? That lets you do nice things in the browser, effectively, I guess. But so, what does REST Angular actually? What does it do? REST Angular.
So the idea of REST Angular is with AngularJS, what you do, as you said, is you build single page applications or front end applications that will call an API. So basically, it calls a server. So in that server, you have resources where you, for example, you could ask information about the user and then the cars from that user and then the tires of that cars. And REST Angular makes it really easy to call that API so that you don't even have to know the URL of what you're calling. You just nest resources and write easier ways to do calls to that API.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain it for the non-coders.
Yeah, I know. So I'm trying to think, probably the best way to tackle this is, I know that on your website you have a sort of a very nice sort of animated graphic, don't you, that explains the main sort of your approach to marketing, which is a developer's approach to marketing. So why don't we sort of use that as a framework? I guess the first thing to ask is, how would you sort of sum up the main product techniques?
So I think that the main product techniques to me is like product discovery and product delivery. Mm. So if you ask me about what each of them are, the idea of product discovery is around in products about discovering what to build. So building something, actually having engineers that code, takes a lot of time. So instead of doing that, what you should do is try to find out whether what you're building is valuable and adds value to the customers without building. And you can do that with interviews, with mockups, and talking to customers, doing user testing, etc. And then once you finally discover and understand something that adds value to those customers, then it's time for delivery. And the idea for delivery is you build it, but you don't just build it. You also measure it so that you know what's working, what's not working, and then you can from there iterate and continually do discovery and delivery at the same time.
And let's just focus in a bit on that discovery phase, because what's the, in your mind as a software engineer, what's the best way to sort of apply discovery in marketing?
So to me, what's interesting about this is I basically knew nothing about marketing. And because I knew absolutely nothing about marketing, I needed to understand what to do. So to do that, what I started doing was interviewing people. So I started contacting people on Twitter or in LinkedIn and telling them, hey, I can offer you a $50 Amazon gift card if you spend some time with me. And I'm not going to sell you the product. I'm not going to tell you anything about the product. It's mostly asking questions about what do you do in your day-to-day. Some of the questions I was asking was like, how does your typical day look like? When are you with the computer? When are you with your cell phones? What applications do you use? Like, what do you like to learn about? How do you learn about those things? Like, do you Google for them? Do you go to forums, to meetups, to conferences? Do you read stuff from analysts? And also, because I was serious about authentication, I was asking them, are you interested about authentication? If yes, on what things and why? And I started interviewing a lot of people and starting to find patterns on that. And something, for example, one that was very interesting is that a lot of Auth0's competitors were targeting in Google a keyword that was single sign-on. And single sign-on is basically what Auth0 and the other competitors do. But then when we were talking to the developers, which were our target market, they never searched for single sign-on. And they actually didn't care that much about authentication because they hated it, because it was boring. What they wanted to do is other things. But then when they were coding authentication and they got stuck with something or they had an error, what they did was search in Google. So because of that, we started learning how these developers behave. So something that I learned there is, okay, React developers are only interested in authentication when they get stuck, and they will search that in Google. And by that, you can start understanding how these people behave. Another thing that we learned, for example, was that all developers were using Adblock. So all of the ads in the web were being blocked by them.
That's however, so true. I use Adblock all the time. I shouldn't really be saying that on a marketing podcast, should I?
That's true. I use it too, but I won't say anything.
And it's our little secret.
Exactly. And however, what they did do is they went into Twitter using their mobile phones because they felt that's the best way for them to learn from other developers. And in Twitter, you can actually do ads, for example, in the app because they are not blocked, because they see them from mobile. So based on some of this feedback that we got from the interviews and analyzing what people were saying, we started then trying different experiments in our product delivery phase.
But so, yeah, just for our listeners, let's just explain, because you were talking there about when you were doing your research, presumably while you were working at Auth0, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, better just explain to our non-developer listeners that Auth0, and you can correct me actually, Gonto, if I'm wrong here, but Auth0 is like a sort of outsourced authentication service. Would that be right?
Yes.
Yes, perfect. And hopefully it'll all fall into place now. A couple of geeks talking about what they do. So you mentioned, at least I think you mentioned delivery in there. So how do you apply delivery in marketing using this approach?
So for example, then what we did is, like, we understood in this case that these React developers were only searching for authentication when they were stuck. So then delivery is about setting up experiments that you can then try them out and iterate. So I always think that delivery has to have three main things. One is you need to do something that is an MVP, the minimum value product, but in this case will be the minimum value marketing experiment. Like, what is the least amount of efforts that I can use to test an hypothesis that I have based on what I discovered on? And at the same time, something that is important is that you set KPIs, which are key performance indicators, goals, and timelines, so that you can run this experiment and then finally learn. I always say that if your experiment fails, it doesn't matter, because then you can learn and then do another set of discovery and another set of experimentation. However, you only fail if once the experiment fails, you don't do any digging and you don't try to learn. If you just say, oh, it failed, fuck this, I'm done. That's the problem, and that's, I think, when you fail. And to continue the example that I was saying before, when we realized what was happening with these React developers, we set an experiment, which was, okay, we're going to write 3 blog posts about how you can basically, if you're stuck with authentication on React, how you can hook up Auth0 and how that will simplify your life. Mm. We're going to run this blog post. We're going to wait for a month, because sometimes it takes some time. We're going to use certain SEO keywords. And what we want is to increase the signups that are that first discovered Auth0 from this blog post by 10%. So then we run the experiment. It took a month. And then a month later, it failed. Yeah. We weren't really happy. And the main reason why it failed was that when we went back and checked the data, we saw that we had a lot more page views, but very little signups. Mm. So the conversion rate was very bad. And it was because the page views were from returning users. So the page views were from people who already knew about Auth0. So those people weren't going to sign up. So based on that, we reiterated the test. But now, instead of writing 3 blog posts about Auth0, we were going to write 3 blog posts about how you can implement authentication in any application your own, and then write a small aside, like 2 or 3 paragraphs saying, look, if this is too much effort and you don't want to do this, you can just use Auth0 if you want.
Yeah.
And when we did that, that worked much better, because now the page views that we were getting were from people that were actually interested in implementing authentication into their application. And some of them would use Auth0 because of the site, some of them would not. But it was interesting to them, so then they were sharing this with other people. So once this experiment worked, we started saying, okay, how can we do more of this? And that's what eventually became the technical content marketing team now at Auth0, which has 10 engineers that are constantly writing blog posts for engineers.
Now, I'm going to guess, as a software engineer like myself, did you apply a lot of automation to this process, or did you try to apply it?
We did try to apply it in the beginning, but what we realized is that it was going to take too much time. Yeah. And I do believe that to scale, you first must do things that don't scale. So in the beginning, we were using Google Analytics and some of that stuff. But then as it was becoming more and more popular, then we started doing more automation. And now, for example, we ended up building our own attribution framework for understanding like first touch, last touch, multi-touch attribution for each of the content pieces that we write.
Yeah. So it sounds a bit to me like in the early days you had a bit of an Elon Musk moment, because he tried to automate everything, didn't he, in his production line, but found he had over automated and it was actually slowing things down.
I agree 100%. And in the beginning we were like, no, everything needs to be automated, everything needs to have data this way. And it was taking like so much time for us. Yeah. And it was crazy to understand that. At first, I didn't understand this phrase that to scale, you need to do things that don't scale. But then once that happened, I was like, oh, this is what Paul Graham meant.
Yeah, yeah. So if you had one sort of top tip or a key takeaway for our audience today in the contents of your sort of software approach to marketing, what would it be, Gonto?
I think it's don't focus on specific tactics and don't fall for those 10 best tactics on how to do content marketing, but rather do research, talk to your target market, talk to your customers, and based on that research, then create the minimal experiments that you can to test your hypothesis that you created from that research. And then from there, continue to iterate and start, based on that, create your own marketing tactics that will work, but don't just trust other people that what they say will work for you as well.
Well, Gonto, thanks so much for coming on. How can our listeners find out more about you?
So I have my website, which is gon.to, so Gonto, but with the dot in the middle.
Yeah.
I actually had to buy it was funny. I bought the website it's from Tonic Island. And the first time I bought it, they didn't have HTTPS. So I was going to enter my credit card and I was like very scared.
Ooh.
But I ended up buying it anyway. And then otherwise, you can follow me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is mgonto.
So that's M for mother, Gonto.
Yes.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much, Gonto, and thanks for listening. The show notes will be in the usual place, sitevisibility.co.uk/impodcast. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a review because it helps us to get out to more people. Presumably you're enjoying the show, then you'll want to leave us a review. We're always open to suggestions and questions. So the email is podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk. You can tweet @sitevisibility. We have a site visibility group on LinkedIn. That's all from me, Andy. And it's all from Gonto.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.